Today is the fifth day of February. Welcome back. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. Great to be here with you as we gather again. Another day around our global campfire together. Another day to let the scriptures have their way, to speak to us the way that they do. And we certainly invite the Holy Spirit of God to allow them to kind of hit us where we need it. And the things that we need to know for today and for the days ahead stand out to us. And that we're listening and paying attention. Grateful, with a grateful heart to be here with you as we do this. So let's jump in. Obviously, we're going to pick up exactly where we left off. And that is in the wilderness. We are in the wilderness journey with the children of Israel now. A period of time of formation, of reformation, of identity shift, and of actual challenge and hardship of the wilderness, which so deeply mimics our own lives. Today, Exodus chapter 21, verse 22 to 23, verse 13. If men fight and hit a pregnant woman, and her child is born prematurely, but there is no serious injury, the one who hit her will surely be punished in accordance with what the woman's husband demands of him. And he will pay what the court decides. But if there is serious injury, then you will give a life for a life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise. If a man strikes the eye of his male servant or his female servant so that he destroys it, he will let the servant go free as compensation for the eye. If he knocks out the tooth of his male servant or his female servant, he will let the servant go free as compensation for the tooth. If an ox gores a man or a woman so that either dies, then the ox must surely be stoned and its flesh must not be eaten, but the owner of the ox will be acquitted. But if the ox had the habit of goring, and its owner was warned, but he did not take the necessary precautions, and then it killed a man or a woman, the ox must be stoned, and the man must be put to death. If a ransom is set for him, then he must pay the redemption for his life according to whatever amount was set for him. If the ox gores a son or a daughter, the owner will be dealt with according to this rule. If the ox gores a male servant or a female servant, the owner must pay 30 shekels of silver, and the ox must be stoned. If a man opens a pit, or if a man digs a pit and does not cover it, and an ox or a donkey falls into it, the owner of the pit must repay the loss. He must give money to its owner, and the dead animal will become his. If the ox of one man injures the ox of his neighbor so that it dies, then they will sell the live ox and divide its proceeds, and they will also divide the dead ox. Or if it is known that the ox had the habit of goring and its owner did not take the necessary precautions, he must surely pay ox for ox, and the dead animal will become his. If a man steals an ox or a sheep and kills it or sells it, he must pay back 5 head of cattle for the ox and 4 sheep for the one sheep. If a thief is caught breaking in and is struck so that he dies, there will be no blood guilt for him. If the sun has risen on him, then there is blood guilt for him. A thief must surely make full restitution. If he has nothing, then he will be sold for his theft. if the stolen item should in fact be found alive in his possession, whether it be an ox or a donkey or a sheep, he must pay back double. If a man grazes his livestock in a field or a vineyard and he lets the livestock loose, and they graze in the field of another man, he must make restitution from the best of his own field and the best of his own vineyard. If a fire breaks out and spreads to thorn bushes, so that stacked grain or standing grain or the whole field is consumed, the one who started the fire must surely make restitution. If a man gives his neighbor money or articles for safekeeping, and it is stolen from the man's house, if the thief is caught, he must repay double. If the thief is not caught, then the owner of the house will be brought before the judges to see whether he has laid his hand on his neighbor's goods. In all cases of illegal possessions, whether for an ox, a donkey, a sheep, a garment, or any kind of lost item about which someone says, "This belongs to me," the matter of the two of them will come before the judges, and the one whom the judges declare guilty must repay double to his neighbor. If a man gives his neighbor a donkey or an ox or a sheep or any beast to keep, and it dies or is injured or is carried away without anyone seeing it, then there will be an oath to the Lord between the two of them that he has not laid his hand on his neighbor's goods, and its owner will accept this, and he will not have to pay. But if it was stolen from him, he will pay its owner. If it is torn in pieces, then he will bring it for evidence, and he will not have to pay for what was torn. If a man borrows an animal from his neighbor and it is hurt or dies when its owner was not with it, the man who borrowed it will surely pay. If its owner was with it, he will not have to pay. If it was hired, what was paid for the hire covers it. If a man seduces a virgin who is not engaged and goes to bed with her, he must surely pay the marriage price for her to be his wife. If her father refuses to give her to him, he must pay money for the bride price of virgins. You must not allow a sorceress to live. Whoever has sexual relations with a beast must surely be put to death. Whoever sacrifices to a god other than the Lord alone must be utterly destroyed. You must not wrong a resident foreigner, nor oppress him, for you were foreigners in the land of Egypt. You must not afflict any widow or orphan. If you afflict them in any way, and they cry to me, I will surely hear their cry, and my anger will burn, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives will be widows, and your children will be fatherless. If you lend money to any of my people who are needy among you, do not be like a money lender to him. Do not charge him interest. If you do take the garment of your neighbor in pledge, you must return it to him by the time the sun goes down, for it is his only covering. It is his garment for his body. What else can he sleep in? And when he cries out to me, I will hear, for I am gracious. You must not blaspheme God or curse the ruler of your people. Do not hold back offerings from your granaries or your vats. You must give me the firstborn of your sons. You must also do this for your oxen and for your sheep. 7 days they may remain with their mothers, but give them to me on the 8th day. You will be holy people to me. You must not eat any meat torn by animals in the field. You must throw it to the dogs. You must not give a false report. Do not make common cause with the wicked to be a malicious witness. You must not follow a crowd in doing evil things. In a lawsuit, you must not offer testimony that agrees with the crowd so as to pervert justice. And you must not show partiality to a poor man in his lawsuit. If you encounter your enemy's ox or donkey wandering off, you must by all means return it to him. If you see the donkey of someone who hates you fallen under its load, you must not ignore him. Be sure to help him with it. You must not turn away justice for your poor people in their lawsuits. Keep your distance from a false charge. Do not kill the innocent and the righteous, for I will not justify the wicked. You must not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds those who see and subverts the words of the righteous. You must not oppress a resident foreigner, since you know the life of a foreigner, for you were foreigners in the land of Egypt. For 6 years, you are to sow your land and gather in its produce. But in the 7th year, you must let it lie fallow and leave it alone, so that the poor of your people may eat, and what they leave any animal in the field may eat. You must do likewise with your vineyard and your olive grove. For 6 days, you are to do your work, but on the 7th day, you must cease, in order that your ox and your donkey may rest, and that your female servant's son and the resident foreigner may refresh themselves. Pay attention to do everything I have told you, and do not even mention the names of other gods. Do not let them be heard on your lips. Matthew 24:1-28. Now, as Jesus was going out of the temple courts and walking away, his disciples came to show him the temple buildings. And he said to them, "Do you see all these things? I tell you the truth, not one stone will be left on another. All will be torn down." As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered them, "Watch out that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will mislead many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Make sure that you are not alarmed, for this must happen, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise up in arms against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of birth pains. Then they will hand you over to be persecuted and will kill you. You will be hated by all the nations because of my name. Then many will be led into sin, and they will betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many. And because lawlessness will increase so much, the love of many will grow cold. But the person who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole inhabited earth as a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come. So, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken about by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then those in Judea must flee to the mountains. The one on the roof must not come down to take anything out of his house, and the one in the field must not turn back to get his cloak. Woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing their babies in those days. Pray that your flight may not be in winter or on a Sabbath, for then there will be great suffering unlike anything that has happened from the beginning of the world until now, or ever will happen. And if those days had not been cut short, no one would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe him. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Remember, I have told you ahead of time. So then, if someone says to you, look, he is in the wilderness, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe him. For just like the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so the coming of the Son of Man will be. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. Psalm 29, a Psalm of David. Acknowledge the Lord, you heavenly beings. Acknowledge the Lord's majesty and power. Acknowledge the majesty of the Lord's reputation. Worship the Lord in holy attire. The Lord's shout is heard over the water. The majestic God thunders. The Lord appears over the surging water. The Lord's shout is powerful. The Lord's shout is majestic. The Lord's shout breaks the cedars. The Lord shatters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them skip like a calf. Lebanon and Sirion like a young ox. The Lord's shout strikes with flaming fire. The Lord's shout shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The Lord's shout bends the large trees and strips the leaves from the forests. Everyone in his temple says, majestic. The Lord sits enthroned over the engulfing waters. The Lord sits enthroned as the eternal king. The Lord gives his people strength. The Lord grants his people security. Proverbs 7, 6 through 23. For at the window of my house, through my window lattice, I looked out, and I saw among the naive, I discerned among the youths a young man who lacked sense. He was passing by the street near her corner, making his way along the road to her house in the twilight, the evening, in the dark of the night. Suddenly, a woman came out to meet him. She was dressed like a prostitute and with secret intent. She is loud and rebellious. She does not remain at home. At one time outside, at another, in the wide plazas, and by every corner, she lies in wait. So she grabbed him and kissed him, and with a bold expression she said to him, I have meats from my peace offerings at home. Today I have fulfilled my vows. That is why I came out to meet you, to look for you, and I found you. I have spread my bed with elegant coverings, with richly colored fabric from Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deeply of lovemaking until morning. Let's delight ourselves with love's pleasures. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a journey of some distance. He has taken a bag of money with him. He will not return until the end of the month. She turned him aside with her persuasions. With her smooth talk, she was enticing him along. Suddenly, he was going after her. like an ox that goes to the slaughter, like a stag prancing into a trapper's snare, till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird hurrying into a trap, and he does not know that it will cost him his life. Okay, so in the Gospel of Matthew, we have reached Jerusalem. This is Jesus' final stop. Like, he's going to be arrested in Jerusalem, and his life will be taken from him, and we'll see that story for the first time this year. But he's beginning a conversation or a teaching about the future, an apocalyptic teaching about the end times. And it's fascinating how much of that kind of discourse has happened throughout the millennia, for thousands of years, including now. Trying to sort all that out, date it, figure it out, figure the signs of the times, know where we are, plan accordingly, all this kind of stuff, when Jesus actually himself, our Savior, taught on these things. And so, certainly, we can go to all the apocalyptic literature, Daniel, Ezekiel, the book of Revelation, certainly. We also, though, should incorporate what Jesus actually taught on the matter, right? Like, that should maybe be out in front as we're considering these things. And so Jesus says, look, don't let anybody mislead you. Many are going to come in my name. Many are going to claim I'm the one, I'm the Messiah, I'm the Christ. And then he explained that the end would have wars and rumors of wars and famine and earthquakes, and there would be hatred, and there would be persecution, and there would be false prophets, and evil and wickedness and sin would run rampant. Those are all troubling things that we can see today, and every generation before us could see as well. So the end times, it's an existential kind of angst, and can be an incredibly disruptive and disturbing subject if we're kind of bent in that direction. But Jesus teaches on this topic, and we will see that his intention in teaching on the topic was not to whip anyone into a frenzy, was not to conjure terror or manipulate people through fear. His intention was to offer clarity, awareness, and hope. And so, in his teaching today, there is specific counsel. Two words, very important words. Don't panic. So according to Jesus, these signs, these early warning signs of an end, are like the beginning of birth pains. So anyone who's been through this, as a mother, or anyone who's been through this with your spouse, as a father, it takes a minute from the first onset of maybe a contraction all the way through the actual birth. And with the pain of these things, with the pain of birth comes new life. And so inside of us, we are certainly longing for our own restoration, for the restoration of all things to be as they were intended to be, for shalom to come upon the earth and into our lives. And we often interpret shalom as peace, we just need peace. But shalom is this really, really big concept. It's wholeness. It's restoration. It's the return to things as they should be, how they were always meant to be. and peace is included in that. We long for that. We believe in faith that there is a time that Jesus reigns and shalom is complete upon the earth. But first, this world, from an apocalyptic perspective, has to go through a process that Jesus likens as a birthing process. And so we can be terrified or we can be vigilant so that we have a context and awareness of what we see. The one who endures to the end will be saved, Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew. That is repeated throughout the book of Revelation. Jesus says, look, I warned you about this ahead of time. You're not in the dark here. So when we actually do allow the darkness around us to terrify us, when we allow people who are trying to whip us into a frenzy and cause terror or panic among us to have their way, well, we're getting manipulated away from Jesus' teachings himself. We can look at the darkness and be terrified by it. We can be led into anxiety and apprehension. Or we can follow Jesus and understand that for all things to be made new, the world is ultimately going to go through a rebirth. And may we just understand that wherever we are on the continuum, whatever generation it is that we are in, we're all a part of that story. And we can all declare the same words that are found in the book of Revelation. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. So, Father, we invite you into that. And actually, we even use that as a broader thing. Like, yes, existential angst, the dread that comes from the unknown about the future, the anxiety that that produces. We can have this about end times, but we can have this about tomorrow. We can have this about anything in the future. Anxiety and dread for that which we cannot control or see or forecast or understand. We hear your words speaking to our anxiety. Don't panic. And we take those two words and invite your Holy Spirit in to bring comfort and truth and clarity and direction. And we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. As I say every day, this is home base. This is where to be connected, stay connected to what's going on around here. Man, a couple days from now. So, time to pack. Because I'm going to put you all in my suitcase and carry you all to the land of the Bible, because we're about to head over. Man, this time next week we'll be well underway. So, yeah, we'll be heading out Sunday across the great seas, actually, to get to the land of the Bible, where we will begin our pilgrimage for this year. Very much looking forward to that. So grab your toothbrush. Do your laundry. There's room for everybody in the suitcase. And so off we will go. Thank you for praying for this journey. Gonna need that. Probably specifically prayer for health, prayer for stamina, like jet lag and those kind of things, prayer for technology, obviously, wherever we go, so goes the Global Campfire, and so goes Daily Audio Bible. So we need all of that to work very consistently. Although over 20 years, we've seen everything and figured it out, but we need that covered. And safety and all everything. So thank you for beginning to pray over this adventure that we will all go on together, whether you're actually going to be there, which we can't wait to see you if you are, or virtually we'll be traveling together and posting constantly, and Jill and I will come together each evening and do whatever this is and talk about what we've seen and what we've done and how it felt each day. So we're looking forward to that. Thank you for your prayers. That is kind of what's about to go on around here, so be aware of that. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if the mission to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and offered freely to anyone, anywhere, anytime, and to build community around the rhythm of just simply showing up for ourselves, for our own hearts, showing up for each other, knowing that we're on the same page and going through this together, if that is life-giving, then thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible. This is Joyful in Virginia. And I was actually able to listen to the community prayers that just came out. And it is the 1st of February today. Anyways, I heard Michaela, and she was a first-time caller calling about their finances. And I heard you say that you've done everything that you could do and you didn't know. But I want to just encourage you to just trust fully on Jesus to provide and take you out of the matter. It's amazing. He really does provide for us. We just have to totally trust him. And it's taken me a long time to get there. I've had a lot of debt and stuff, but it's slowly getting out because I'm trusting in God. And he's shown me other ways to, I'm going back to school now. And it's such a relief. So, Lord, I pray that the anxiety would be gone. And that you would, just help her to trust you 100%. And that you would just comfort her and show her that you do care and that you do see her. And that you would just show her ways. And how you provide with just money showing up. Lord, I pray that you would just... anyways, my time's running out. But Michaela, I'm praying for you, okay? God's got you. Just trust him.
I pray for each and every one of you. I love this group. I love every one of you. I lift all of you up in prayer for peace, love, blessing. And I ask for prayer for myself. At 54 years old, I'm starting two new careers. I'm working at a middle school in the cafeteria, so I see every single student. And in the evening, then I'm working at the YMCA with elementary school kids. I'm asking for prayer that I can be a light and that I can encourage these children. each and every one of them. And I pray that I can remember their names, all of their names. That's what I want. I want to be able to remember them and just touch each and every one of them in a special way that will just make their future bright and hopeful. It's such a scary world that we live in, and I just want these kids that are our future to be a light to others and be kind and loving as well. So please pray for me that I'm able to do that, that each child is just special in their own way and that they can see that, and I can help them do that. Thank you. I love all of you.
Hi, it's Heather from Tennessee. I wanted to lift up a prayer request, I believe from Louisa Miracle Child. She called in a prayer on the community prayer, I think the 24th. I think that's the one I'm listening to right now. And she said that her friend Laura, I believe, went to the hospital for vertigo. She can't see, I think. And it was her birthday, or on the eve of her birthday. And my birthday was on the 16th. So we are, right around the same time our birthdays are. So I just want to lift her up in prayer. Oh, Lord, I just pray for Laura that you will just allow the doctor's wisdom to know what to do. Vertigo is such a tough condition. And I pray, Lord, that that you will just step in and allow her healing. And I pray, Lord, that she'll be able to move about her day and be able to see her friend, and that this will just be a blip in her life. And Lord, I pray that if there's anything that she needs to change or do or whatever the doctors think, that Lord, that you will make it clear to them and to her. And we just thank you for your miraculous healing and your loving guidance and your grace and your mercy. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, this is Sandy in North Carolina. And little Cherie, this is for you in Canada. I don't have MS, but I do have another autoimmune disease. And so I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm always scared of traveling. I don't have quite as many dietary restrictions as maybe you have, but I do have a hard time with sleep, and I get a lot of flare-ups that are painful. So I will be praying for you on this cruise that they will have good food for you that you can eat and that you get good sleep and that most of all you and your husband get to spend some real good quality time together. And I will also be praying that those MS symptoms stay quiet. So I hope that you will have a great voyage. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
This is Valerie in South Carolina. And my dad family, I ask you to agree with me in prayer about my Army friend, Eric. Heavenly Father, I bring my friend Eric before you. He is a Satanist, and he is all alone in that big house now, and possibly suicidal. I ask that you protect his mind from the attacks of the enemy. I tear down any strongholds or agreements that he had with Satan. I ask you to protect him because he gave me a place to stay and was kind to me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to bless him. I ask you to manifest yourself to him and answer his questions the way that you did with me. I ask you to show yourself to him, show your love to him in a way that only you can. Please draw him to you. You've protected him through Iraq and Afghanistan. He has a powerful testimony, and I know you have your hand on his shoulder and you want him for your own. So please use his loneliness right now. Please draw him to yourself and show him your true, pure love. Please save him. I pray this in Jesus' name.
Hi, Dad family. It's Gretchen. I have been listening for 6 or 7 years, but it's my first time calling. Karen in Florida and Amy in Arizona, you both called talking about your fights with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. I really felt I could help you, but I chickened out from calling in. And then Aspiring Beautiful Faith in Indiana called in talking about being obedient to God when he asks you to do something. And then the very next day, two people called in praying that the Lord would bring people to Amy and Karen who can help them and encourage them. So nerves aside, here I am. I personally finished my chemo for NHL in 2015. I eventually found another survivor who had gathered over decades research about different supplements and dietary additions, etc., specifically for lymphoma. And then years after that, someone else told me about something else that within months of doing it, it helped me get over the chemo fog, brain fog, muscle loss that I'd had for 8 years post-chemo, gone in months. So I'm just so grateful to God that I found those people who helped me, and I want to help you and whoever will listen. Please contact me. You can probably find me in the Dab Friends Facebook group. I'm in Asheville, North Carolina. I might put Eastern Tennessee in there. I think I'm the only Gretchen there, which is another God move because there are more than 6,000 members. But I'm really not into social media. Just let me know you're part of the Dab family because I get lots of spam. Anyway, Amy, Karen, I love you so much. I have been there. I feel for you. I'm here for you. I love this global campfire. It's freezing right now, but y'all warm my heart. I love you all. Bye.